This episode is brought to you by our Hosting Handbook mini course. Whether you're already hosting guests on Airbnb or you're still trying to soak up as much knowledge as you can, this course is the ultimate cheat sheet.
It can transform your hosting from hobby to business. Get our coveted templates that include the welcome book, turnover handbook, and supply closet spreadsheet, and other great bonuses you don't want to miss.
Our hosting handbook is usually priced at $297, but for a very limited time, you can grab your seat for just $67. Head to www.thanksforvisiting.me/hosting handbook to get all the deets. Now, on to the show.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hey, listeners, welcome back to another great week. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. All right, let's start with this episode like we do each and every week. We're sharing one of you, our listeners, who's using our hashtag #STRShareSunday. Of course, that stands for short-term rental share Sunday. We share you on our Instagram every Sunday, but of course, we're going to shout you out here on the podcast. Annette, who are we sharing?
Today, we are sharing at the Bungalow CDA. And I want to go there ASAP. And that this home is in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And let's just talk about their Instagram really quick. First of all, it's a 1920s bungalow.
It's too cute. Their front door is so good.
Who doesn't want to stay there? But the biggest thing, takeaway, and this episode is airing at the beginning of the year. So I think this is a great time for everyone to kind of do an Instagram inventory, if you will, of your story highlights. Sarah and I talk a lot about how that can share so much about your property. And this particular account, the Bungalow CDA, does a wonderful job of repurposing all of their photos. Mm-hmm. And then also repurposing their reviews. You know, sometimes the reviews can get... they kind of get stale when they're inside your Airbnb listing. Like, it's just like, review, review, review. They've done a really nice job of putting a photo and then matching it with a review and then a photo and then a review.
It kind of looks like they're leveraging Canva, listeners. I don't know if you've heard of this website, but it's free to use and you can make curated Instagram stories. They look really professional. They've got templates, so you don't have to be a graphic designer to make it look great. And then you can just upload it to your Instagram and then you can save it as a highlight. So if you tell people to go to your Instagram account from your listing or when they're at your property, they can kind of learn more about what you got to offer.
Yeah. And I know, you know, adding places to go, things of that nature. This is just really a time. Let's do some inventory on our Instagram accounts. But cheers to you, Bungalow CDA. You're crushing it. Thank you for using our hashtag.
Yes.
And again, use the hashtag #STRShareSunday and we will share your space. All right, Sarah, let's get to our next guest.
All right, Annette, we've got a good way to start off 2021 today. Listeners, we're going to talk about something a little bit more technical. We're going to talk about your Airbnb's SEO. And I'm not even going to go into the acronym and what it means because we're going to let our guest do that. Do you want to introduce him, Annette?
Sure. Today we have Kelvin on the show, and he's the founder of Rank Breeze, a company that helps short-term rental property managers get more bookings by optimizing their Airbnb listings for better search rankings and conversions.
Yes.
And you know what that means? More money. So that's why we want to kick off the year with something exciting. And that's why we have Kelvin on today. So Kelvin, welcome to the show. Teach us your ways.
Hey guys, thanks for the invite.
Awesome. Well, listen, Kelvin, if you want to, can you go ahead and just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got started, you know, how you created Rank Breeze and kind of the story behind that?
Sure. Where do we go from here? So, was hosting before, you know, the apartment, back in the day. I'm in Calgary, Alberta, in Canada. And, you know, like everyone else, you fall into the Airbnb world from all sorts of different places.
the amazing trap door. Once you start, you can't stop.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing more addicting than looking at your phone and then getting a booking
more.
Within the, you know, first hour.
Right.
You know, because your price is too low. And you're, you know, all sorts of different reasons that and things that you learn about. But my background's in SEO in general. So SEO stands for search engine optimization. And maybe to kick it off, just to make a couple definitions. So there's traditional search engine optimization, and that's usually around Google, because Google is the king of searches, right?
Right.
And then, you know, of course there's other search engines like Bing and things like that. But for the most part, when we're talking about traditional search, that's with Google. And that's also important, you know, that's also important for short-term rentals, not just Airbnb. So we can talk about other aspects as well. But that's kind of the definition there. And it's about trying to get your website ranked as highly as possible on Google. Whereas with different search engines, so Airbnb is more of a marketplace, so it's a marketplace search engine. Very similar to things like Amazon. Amazon is also another marketplace search engine. And the reason why those are similar is because there are, you know, it's a perishable item. The places that you're renting out are, they have an expiry date, and also it's limited capacity. You can only rent them for 365 days max, at least. And you most likely are not going to get there. But overall, that's kind of the differences between when we're talking about search engine optimization. Without getting overly technical, it's just kind of like the art and science of trying to get your properties ranked as highly as possible on Airbnb, because, well, rankings are really at the heart of what Airbnb does for the most part. Yes, they are a marketplace, but really they're a search engine at the end of the day.
Right. Mm-hmm. So then the core of what you do with Rank Breeze, is it mastering Airbnb's own SEO? Does Airbnb kind of have its own
internal algorithm,
yeah,
I guess, for the search engine?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, Google has ranking factors, and so does Airbnb. So Airbnb has their own ranking factors, and so would other search engines like Amazon,
sure,
for example, or Etsy or anything like that. So anytime you're going to be working on any of these different marketplaces, even the App Store, the iTunes App Store has their own, you know, their own optimizations and things like that. But yes, Airbnb has their own ranking factors. There are, I believe, 200, perhaps more than 200. I've seen actually that number increase in the years. So it sounds like there's more and more work and more importance going into their search algorithm than when they first started. And that makes sense. You know, at first you're going to go quite basic, mm-hmm, and you might look at, okay, we're going to start ranking properties that have the highest occupancy rates. But we can't just do that,
right?
Because then it gets it's too biased towards things like that. So they're always trying to change different things. But yes, overall, that's what Rank Breeze does. Is it helps people, first of all, understand where their rankings are, and then do small tests to optimize their properties so that they're getting more and more search visibility.
So when you first started, were you listing one of your properties on Airbnb, and did you notice there was a way to kind of trick the SEO and you were getting more bookings? Like, what led you into creating Rank Breeze?
Yes, that was part of it. But I mean, even before that,
okay,
it was actually, we were just trying to check our rankings in general, which was a little more complex actually than perhaps with a website, because with a listing, you actually have several different rankings. So you don't just have one ranking. You actually have a ranking for every guest count, as well as every vacant date that you have as well.
Gotcha.
So if you think of a calendar, your calendar is broken down into, if you have the next 2 weeks free, yep, it could be divided by 3 days, 2 days, two nights, a 1 week stay. So there's all sorts of different varies. And those, and each time those searches are made, you actually, you have a slightly different ranking, right? Because there's different supply and demand.
Gotcha.
So overall, yeah, it's not just one ranking. And that's really what we're trying to do at RankBreeze as well, is just to display that data so that you can see, okay, well, let's say I have a property with that can have, let's just say 10 guests. So you're going to see your rankings for where you are for your first guest count, as well as your 10th guest count. That's kind of the simple,
gotcha,
the simple way,
okay,
to put
that makes sense. So all through however many guests that you can have at your home. So if they're putting in 2, you'll rank somewhere. If they're putting in 8, you'll rank somewhere differently.
Exactly. Okay. And then of course there's, like I mentioned, there's also the calendar, right? So every open available date that you have also has that. So first of all, that in itself, in terms of the story was a pain in the butt, quite frankly.
Yeah. I'm like, what were you? How were you trying to do this?
I was doing things manually, looking at, you know, looking at the rankings and going into incognito modes and doing all that sort of stuff. And really it just became kind of a pain in the butt. So we tried to automate that. And then yes, eventually after doing, you know, testing, reading and looking at all sorts of different things, we kind of came on a little bit of a strategy that would help us to get better rankings. And we can talk about that if you'd like.
Yeah. So were you hosting full time when you were doing this, or were you hosting, have a job and trying to do this? Or were you like, wait, this is something that's missing to help out hosts? Like, what really started to fuel the fire for you? Was it, holy smokes, you kind of started to look at where you were ranking and if you could improve it, did you start making, you know, more cash after that? Like, was your rank, was you, the higher you saw yourself going up, did you see that your bookings were going up alongside that?
Yeah. So that's exactly what happened. We did notice though that, for example, we didn't want to necessarily be ranked too high for when we were further out, because we kind of want supply to get eaten up a little bit just so that we can optimize our prices for further out in the future. Mm, okay. So rankings are, in a way, it's not always important to rank number one, but it is important to time things, right? And look at your lead times and understand things like that in terms of trying to be, I guess, a little bit more profitable on when demand drops, or not demand drops, when supply drops and you're ranking higher at that time. But yes, in terms of I was working full time, and then I was also hosting, and then this was also happening. So there's a whole mixture of different things, and but I mean, quite frankly, it's also very interesting for me as well. So just like you, these things are not work,
right? Yeah, right. You enjoy it. Mm-hmm. How long has RankBreeze been around as a product that other hosts can use, I suppose?
So we have, there is a little bit of a story between that too. So RankBreeze has been around, I think, for 3 years, I think. It's been around for 3 years. We first started actually as a blog. So at first I was just writing content and sharing a little bit about the experiments that we were running. And actually most of our content that actually has to do with SEO and things like that and experiments is actually not on RankBreeze. We started on a website called Higher Bookings. So if you're kind of looking around, sometimes if you're looking at searching for things like Airbnb SEO on Google, you'll see us ranking. You won't see RankBreeze on there, but you'll see Higher Bookings, and that's because a lot of our content's on there, because that's really where we started. It was just a lot of writing and experiments and sharing the that part of the story. Yeah, and then eventually RankBreeze came about as just a way for other people to look at what we were doing, and then also if they wanted to also optimize their properties, then this is basically their opportunity to do that in a much easier fashion than looking at your rankings every day manually through incognito windows and using spreadsheets.
And listeners, we're going to dive into some tactical tips for you, so don't worry. But I did want to ask you, Kelvin, so who's your ideal customer for RankBreeze? Like, who can RankBreeze help? What kind of host?
Sure. Well, we have clients and users from all parts of the all over the world. For the most part, if you are English speaking, that's going to be helpful. If you're listening to this podcast, that's going to be helpful. We have hosts from, you know, one property all the way to like hundreds of properties. So that varies. And usually the people that have larger amounts of properties, they're going to have somebody who looks after their pricing and things like that. And usually that's the person who's using Rankbree. So I guess in those businesses, they'd be called, they're a revenue manager for the most part. Mm-hmm. For the hosts that are, you know, between the 1 and 3, 1 to 10 mm-hmm. range. We have hosts that use that as well. And it's, in a way, it's probably a little bit more approachable for them because they can really get into the nitty gritty and things like that and do those tests that they wanted to do.
Yeah. And if and when they do grow, they know it like the back of their hand. And so when they do hire a revenue manager, you know, it's like we always say, like, clean the toilets before you hire a cleaner, like know your property's turnover process. The same could go for managing your revenue and understanding your
SEO before handing it over to a team member.
It is usually like the last thing I think people let go of.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And mm-hmm. on average, Kelvin, when someone starts to use Rankbree, how quickly do they start to see a return on that investment? Do you have those numbers and how much, like, does their occupancy rate, you know, increase, their average nightly stay rate? Like, does all that stuff pretty quickly, do you see a change there? And what's that look like for clients?
Tough question, Matt.
Yeah, that's a great question. In general, I would say, this is actually a great, almost like a warning in the sense is that SEO is a long-term thing.
Yeah.
You know, when you're hosting on Airbnb or any other platform, you're building up your reviews. Those take time, and those reviews allow you to kind of throw your weight around, mm-hmm. really, right? It's like it's a background check on your ability to host well.
Yeah.
But in general, I would probably say that from what we've seen, let's say if a property is maybe on the lower end of the pages, so let's say page 5, to get to page 1, that usually takes around, it's like a 3 to 4 month process. So it is quite a bit of time, I would say. But also, maybe it's not, because at the end of the day, the properties that do reach that point to the top, they tend to actually stay on top for longer.
Right. It seems like a small amount of time, especially if you're in, you know, if you're in this for the long game, which we hope you are, that's going to be relatively small amount of time to see a return.
And I don't know if we talked about this yet on air or if this was when we were chatting with Kelvin before we hit record, but you mentioned, Kelvin, like going incognito and checking out your stuff. And I want to explain it from what I think it means. And then you tell me if I'm right, Kelvin. But I think, because listeners, if you go on Airbnb.com just in your regular browser, like you were just checking your email, then you open up a new tab, you check Airbnb, it's likely you'll see a different organization of listings on Airbnb.com. You know, I used to get excited like, oh my God, my property's in the first page. But isn't that because Kelvin and I was probably looking at my properties and checking them from but if you go incognito, you get a truer sense of where your listings fall. Is that how it is?
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. Because there is, you know, Airbnb is a very big company, and they collect a lot of data, and a lot of that data has to do with what you have visited in the past. You know, so that's really how it starts, right? Because they're kind of assuming that you are searching as a guest as well. So they are trying to, they're noticing, okay, well, you clicked on this listing and you came back the next day.
We'll keep showing
it
to you.
So maybe you are interested in this listing.
Right.
So yes, that is part of it. There's history from a visiting perspective that helps with, it's personalization. So Airbnb is personalization, trying to personalize the search results to you based on things that you clicked. And if you, that personalization fades away with time.
Okay.
So, you know, the more recent you were on Airbnb and those listings that you clicked on, then the more apparent they're going to be in your search results when you're kind of looking around. Yeah, actually, so with incognito, Yes, incognito is one way to do it. I would sometimes people ask us questions as to how we're doing it because they're going to look at their properties and they're going to look at a snapshot of time and then they're going to look at what RankBreeze says. Mm-hmm. And usually that's a question that pops up. So it's probably a good idea to address it here.
Yeah.
So we collect a lot of rankings. Like it's a lot, especially if you think about if one single property has 16 guests and then times that by the dates as well. So there's a lot of rankings. So in general, though, what we're trying to do is our job is to collect those rankings every 24 hours too.
Wow.
Right.
Okay.
So we are just to make it a little bit more, how do I say this? More of an objective point of view. We collect rankings throughout the day from multiple times. So for example, we might look at your listing and we'll look at the first guest count for the first week of January. And then we'll come back a little bit later and we'll look at your second guest count for whatever date. So there's some time in between there, but over time that gives you a better idea for your average because things do bounce around based on, you know, if one person's searching, they book a property for the date that you are available, then that property gets removed from search results and hopefully they book yours next.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. I know. I want to like see behind the scenes. All right. So for some tangible advice. So if we don't have RankBreeze right now, Kelvin, how can we improve our Airbnb rankings and search visibility? There's got to be some stuff that I can shake out of, Sarah and I can shake out of you right now to help our listeners. What would be some things you could give them?
Sure. Airbnb in general or SEO in general is an art and a science. So we talked about that before. The art part, I would say, is the, if we were to give an example, would be professional photography, I would think. You know, professional photography is, to me, a baseline at this point, I think.
We agree.
You know, you really shouldn't take your own photos unless you are a professional photographer and you understand all the photography rules, you know, like the rule of thirds and like, you know, spacing between your ground and your background. Like there's a reason why these people
are good. They've got great equipment too.
And that's, you know, that is the art part of it, right? And the reason why you want to have professional photography is because you want to drive your clicks. You want to drive click-through rates. And click-through rates are, that is essentially the number of people that view your property through a search and then, or that see your property through a search and then actually click through and then view your listing. Mm. So that is that's what your click-through rate is. And that's really important because that signals to Airbnb that that your listing is popular, that it's actually able to have people stay on the platform for longer. And so they can basically make a decision between you or another person, right? So it's about that. It's about that funnel there. So as long as you kind of start understanding how the user is searching, then that kind of helps you narrow down that art and science. So the art is the photography, trying to get a photo that is going to drive the most clicks. And that's the click-through rate is that metric that you're watching. And then the click-through rate is actually also, you know, you can look at that in Airbnb too. So
right.
they give you a general sense of their the stats. I don't think it's great, to be honest with you. Some of the stats on Airbnb are kind of weird.
Well, I feel like they don't tell you what's good. They're like, you have a click-through rate of, I don't know, I'm making it up, 1.2. And you're like, cool, is that good? Like, I don't know, you know?
Yeah, and Airbnb gives you these, there's a little similar listings area. So you can kind of click over there and kind of see between you and similar listings. But I would say though, and this actually is a segue to that, the similar listings, at least from what we've seen, is actually almost purely dependent on your location. It doesn't really have to do with your property per se, besides the location of it. So, you know, you might be, you can't really compare yourself if you've invested, you know, $20,000 into your unit and someone has invested $2,000 or maybe not even because it's a college dorm next to your property,
right.
and yours is a luxury property, let's say, right? So you can't really make those comparisons. So I wouldn't say that necessarily that to trust those numbers as much in a way. And I guess small tidbit is if in the future, we're hoping for 2021 here, that we're going to be able to make that judgment of things like that a little bit easier in rank priests as well.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So the art, photography is baseline, get a professional out there. What else can we do?
Sure. So photography, yeah, is very, very important because it's the first thing people see. And yeah, that should be very important. Your cover photo, of course, is the primary thing to get those clicks. Let's talk about your title. So your title is actually, you know, maybe the second most important thing, because if we're talking about grabbing people from the search page and then getting them onto your listing, so that they can either contact you or make a booking, or you know, or at least just look at you.
Yeah.
At least wish list your property. You know,
yeah,
that's one thing. But your title, one thing that you could do with your title is, well, you want to make your title stand out. So there's a few different things you could do. This, and I'll tell you what we do, at least. So what we do is we look at search suggestions. So search suggestions are, it is the dropdown that happens when you are typing in a search box,
right.
And then you kind of get these suggestions that pop up. Mm-hmm. So it's very similar to when you are typing on Google and they're going to try and auto finish your question, which they're very good at.
Yes, they're creepy about
and,
it.
Yeah, and Airbnb has a somewhat similar thing as well. So when you type in your city into Airbnb, sometimes if you just do a little bit of exploration, you can kind of see, okay, they're going to ask for things like the airport. Mm-hmm. They're going to ask for things like, usually it's points of interest for the most part,
okay.
Actually. So that's usually what's popping up is points of interest. So we kind of look at it like that. And using that knowledge, we can either add those points of interest that are popping out from search suggestions into your title. That's kind of like the ideal place, I would say. But you can also include it into, I believe it's called your summary, which is the small 500 character
yes.
area. So that's kind of, that would be the next place to put it. So those would be, that's kind of the, that would be another thing that you could do.
Okay. What's your opinion on adding copy to the photos? So when people are like, since photos are like the number one important thing, I notice a lot of times hosts just, that's the last thing they do is add words to their photos. Or if they do, it's like living room, bathroom.
Right.
Bed.
It's not describing it.
Is it as important as I think it is to add, you know, some engaging copy, or can hosts kind of forego that and pay more attention to their summary and their title?
You know, from maybe from an SEO perspective, I would say I don't know
okay.
how that helps. But you know, if we want to put on our SEO theory hat, we could do that. So I would suggest, though, that you do put descriptions into your, or put copywriting into your photos. Okay. Because, of course, you can tell a better story, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of the main thing. Also, it depends on perhaps what the photo might be as well. So for the most part, yes, if you have any photos, try to put copy in it. If you have something that's more unique, mm-hmm. that's even more important to describe. And the example I'm actually thinking about, which probably doesn't apply to a lot of people, is we work with somebody who does, they also run a nonprofit. So I don't know exactly the nuts and bolts of the nonprofit, but for a certain amount of bookings that they do, they will actually go and they go to build a home in Guatemala.
Nice.
So that's kind of part of that's part of their ethos, and that's part of their business, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But they have all these photos in their listing, which, you know, of Guatemalan people and things like that, and they don't have any descriptions. And
so you're like, wait, am I staying in Guatemala?
Yeah, exactly.
Or?
So it's kind of confusing, and just like you just have to consider certain things, right? You only have a certain amount of time to talk to somebody that's visiting your listing. Otherwise, they're going to what's known as bounce, and
right.
So the bounce rate is when they're going to the listing and then they go back to Airbnb, which you don't want to do, right? You want to keep them on the listing. So the more you can explain your brand, your story, your listing to them, then that's going to be helpful for them to increase the time on page. And the time on page is another metric that Airbnb is looking at.
Yeah, you mentioned this, and listeners, we'll link to it, but Kelvin does an excellent workshop on all of this. And you mentioned something called dwell time. And I think if we're correct here, what I took from your workshop is the longer that someone is on your listing, the longer they're dwelling there online, that will help the ranking. So I'm assuming if people are reading the captions underneath your photos and things, that's going to cause them to dwell on your listing longer, which then in turn would increase their Airbnb SEO. Is that correct? And why you're kind of mentioning dwell time?
Yes. Yeah, that is 100% the...
The reason why. Okay, here's something that Sarah and I talk about a lot, and we want to see if you can help us with this. How much does wish listing, hearting the property help? Because we tell people to do that all the time, and we hope we're not, that we have some evidence behind that. We think we do, but if you could help us, that would be great.
Yeah, it is important from what we've seen.
Okay.
Unfortunately, though, it's kind of one of those things where it is hard to measure.
Okay.
So we have this thing, it's called an optimized listing description service, very long name, but that's the best way to describe it, is we basically rewrite somebody's listing using all a specific methodology, like what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And then at the very end, we do these things, they're these SEO promotions campaigns. And one of those campaigns is a wish listing campaign. So it's literally like going and asking people to wish list the property. And through that work with like lots and lots and lots of listings, we've just seen stuff that doesn't really align. Like, we know for sure these people definitely wishlisted our property because they took a screenshot and they sent it to us, and there was like 20 that day, you know? So we know for sure that it happened. But when we go and we look at Airbnb, we don't see that statistic pop up there. So for us, I can't really necessarily give you that hard evidence, except that And it's kind of just like a part of our process. So it's, you know, there's a lot of different things happening. We can't necessarily isolate that specific action or, you know, of wishlisting. But, you know, there's the art and the science. We just have to think about, what people generally do. I don't know about you, but when I am looking for a property, I am most likely going to add it to I'll create a little list of the area I'm staying in, and then I wishlist that property. So it goes into my set of candidates. Mm-hmm. And then I will go speak to my partner, ask her what she wants to stay at. And then she'll decide, basically.
Okay. So here's what we can confirm. It sure as heck doesn't hurt to be wishlisted. Let's just put it that way.
There's a reason why they spent all that engineering time to put that into the performance tab so that we could see that that's important, right? So, you know, there's your conversion rates, which we've talked about. There's your views, and in your views, there's, you know, there's impressions, things like that. But there's also wishlisting, and wishlisting is you know, that's a tab in there. And then also returning guests. They want returning guests back to their platform. And for them, they view that as, you know, enough. You know, I don't know how much money it takes to build, you know, the admin panel in Airbnb and to build that performance tab, but you know, it costs them money, so it's hard money they're putting in to get the point across that wishlisting is important, and then also having returning guests as well is important.
Do you think that helps your SEO if you personally have the same person booking your space often? Like you have a same traveler coming. Do you think that somehow in the algorithm helps if you have those returning guests specifically to your property?
I don't know. That's not really something that's, I don't want to say stuff that I don't really know. And let's be frank here, right? Like these are the only people that know about this stuff is the engineers at Airbnb.
Right, so exactly.
Let's just mention that. But overall, I think that, I do believe that would be helpful for you to have that returning guest, because of course, like, you know, especially if they're going to leave reviews and hope maybe a different review. I've definitely seen where the returning guest just does not leave a different review. They leave the same review every time.
Copy and paste.
It's a five-star review. Yeah. So that's helpful. But yeah, I would say that is something that they're looking towards in terms of, yeah, that it is possible that it could be something that would help you with your rankings in some way or fashion. But, you know, if that's happening, we're in 2021. A lot of things have happened in 2020. So it is most likely that it would be more beneficial for you to integrate them into your brand and do a direct booking, right?
Gotcha.
If that's going to be something that's happening.
Sure.
Okay. So let's talk about that. A lot of the content I'm consuming from other Airbnb experts in our field are saying that a big trend is, because of everything that happened with COVID and Airbnb, a lot of hosts, even the smaller guys, are looking to get direct bookings, at least have their own branded website and being able to collect data from their guests. Is this something that RankBreeze is looking to help with? Is it kind of the same tips and tricks and all that kind of stuff? So are you guys seeing that your users on RankBreeze are also taking their stuff, obviously still using Airbnb as an online travel agency, but also wanting to do their own thing?
Yes. I mean, I guess I'll say a little bit about my experience just talking to all sorts of different hosts like you do.
Yeah.
From the, and I don't know, obviously the people that we speak to, they might be of a certain flavor, of course. Like that's just, there's all sorts of different hosts out there. But from what we've seen is we've actually seen Airbnb grow.
Yeah.
during the pandemic. And when I say grow, I guess I mean in terms of the balance between Airbnb and VRBO and Booking.com and
right,
things like
gotcha.
That. We've seen that. And I think that does range based on regions. So I'm probably speaking mostly to North America for the most part. I think in Europe, like Booking.com is very big. But yeah, so that part has changed. And yes, people are, I think, you know, 2020 was certainly a one of the scariest times, I think, for short-term rentals, vacation rentals. And that really made people think a lot more about, I think, portfolio balance.
Yeah.
You know, if you have one property that's, you're thinking about, you might be thinking about, okay, longer stays, monthly stays, perhaps just to go over the months when you know you might be slower. But I guess for people with, let's say, 10, 20, 30, 100 properties, and 100 properties, you're probably balancing your portfolio. You're not doing purely short-term rentals, but
yeah.
You might have some that are, you know, month to month. You know, there's tons of people looking for month-to-month stays, actually. That's a whole other niche.
Yeah.
That I don't think we really think about too much. But yeah, that still kind of qualifies as short-term rentals to me. So yes, there was kind of a lot of talk and a lot of moving towards the direct booking, getting direct bookings. And yeah, that's important. You should have direct bookings. But we also need to be, you know, very objective about our own business, and we have to understand that, you know, these are our channel partners at mm-hmm. the end of the day.
Right.
You know, there some people. Well, we still do actually have a lot of users that just use Airbnb by themselves, and
okay.
and because there's just so much traffic that's mm-hmm. that's on Airbnb that they can sustain that. But yes, being on different channels as well is important. So I think. If to kind of go back to what you were mentioning, that is what we saw. We saw more people on going to different channels, and then also more of a push towards brand building. And part of brand building is getting the direct bookings
right
through.
If a listener was to work with RankBreeze, does RankBreeze then, after they collect all the data and they measure it and you do all your fancy stuff behind the scenes, do you then spit out periodically things that the user can do manually to improve their ranking? Does RankBreeze do it for them? How does that work? Like, we're in month 3, 4, you know, of using RankBreeze. What happens next for the user?
So, well, you get like a weekly report every week of where you are, where you're standing. It's actually been kind of difficult for us to get to that point where we could zero in and say, like, this is exactly what you need to do, because there's just kind of a lot of variance, to be honest with you, right? Like, sometimes it could be because of a bad review. It could also be because there's an algorithm update. Airbnb tends to update things it's almost like every 15 days, but usually it's like the beginning of the month and the middle of the month. Okay. We just noticed that there's just these changes that happen very systematically. And I'm guessing that has to do with a lot of, it's like a sprint. So they have, they do a lot of work, they do a sprint, and then they push it out to the great folks. So there's also a lot of testing that's involved with Airbnb too. So Airbnb is doing a lot of A/B tests. So you might see something different than what you're seeing. You might see, instead of like 20 listings on a page, you might get a reduced amount, like 15 or something like that. So there's a bunch of changes like that. But overall, what we tend to say is that if there's one thing you can kind of lean on in terms of what you could do, is we call them spot checks. So it's an SEO spot check, and really how that works is, if you're going to look at your rankings, the easiest thing you can do is look at your best performing guest count. So go to your best performing guest count. Okay, so determine that. That might be your third guest count from what you can tell. So it's your third guest count. After that, you want to go and you want to look at a vacant date. So usually the vacant dates are weekends. Weekends are almost the most important. Mm-hmm. So look at your best performing guest count, and then look at a vacant date, which is probably in high demand, which is a weekend. Look at that weekend, pull it up on Airbnb, and then do a spot check. So look at that weekend, look at the specific guest count, and then kind of determine, are my photos competitive enough? When I say competitive enough, that's quite broad to say, right? So do they look too similar? Mm. Could Airbnb does appreciate a little bit of diversity as well. So, you know, could we change things up a little bit? Can we adjust our title? Is our price right for this moment in time? So it's these little changes where you're running a spot check. You're looking at, and the reason why we're talking about looking at your best performing guest count is because you actually have the best chance to, I don't want to say the word manipulate, but you're working with the algorithm the most, because you're getting the most amount of data, because there's more data being collected by that guest count. So you want to do what you can to improve that, to bring the rest of your listing up higher. So you're kind of anchoring on a guest count that's doing well, looking at a spot check by looking at an upcoming weekend, and then trying to determine, is this competitive enough on this day? Are my prices right? Is my photo enough to grab the person traveling? Mm-hmm. Are we kind of matching up with lead times? You know, that's kind of a different question too, in terms of like, if you're in a winter area and there's snow on the ground, and somebody's kind of in the weekend that you're looking at happens to be in the middle of the winter time, maybe there's an opportunity there to kind of match the expectations that a guest is searching for with the date that they're arriving so that you can, you know, put a fireplace on the TV or something.
Right.
Like that.
No, you're right. You know? Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did some holiday decorating at some of our higher end properties, and you know, my guest, when I was reaching out to my owners in August, you know, planning out when to do it, when to get the photographer in there so we can get, you know what I mean? Once you have the photos for the holiday season or the winter season ever, then the next year you can kind of upload them at the appropriate time. But
exactly.
Yeah, thinking ahead like that is always, it's like, you know, I used to live in New York City, and you would see them shooting stuff, you know, for Christmas time, again, in August, July, like planning all their holiday marketing stuff that far in advance, they could release it then in time where they know people are starting to search for like gifts and whatever, you know, searching for holiday, anything.
Right. So, have that awareness of seasonality.
Yeah.
Like, when are people going to be booking your property for, whether it's, let's say it's a sporting event,
a big event,
golf or tennis or skiing, whatever that may be, or maybe it's theater, but be aware of that and start to infuse that and weave that in. This is one thing, Kelvin, that we also tell our listeners. I want to know if there's any truth to it. I used to not use any sort of dynamic pricing tool. That was me. I would go in and just change my price by like maybe a dollar, but I would go in and make sure that I was updating my listings every day. Does that help with SEO? Just being like in your listing and switching something up. Because we tell our listeners like, hey, like Airbnb likes to see that you are, you know, updating your listing often. So do you think that helps?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, that is helpful. Even dynamic pricing is actually helpful as well. So there's kind of like a double benefit in terms of that. We are running an experiment right now, actually, in terms of kind of like which photo is going to perform the best.
Ooh, cool.
And we're trying to collect some data around those sorts of things. And how we're doing that a lot is also just like changing photos and things like that. So I don't know per se how that'll end up. It may not give us any results, but, so far, you know, yes, in general, just changing your listing and having that it's updated is also important. And then, and dynamic pricing is also important. There used to be, I don't think Airbnb does it anymore, at least that I've seen. There used to be a time when Airbnb used to tell you the last time a calendar was updated. Like they would say on the listing.
Yeah, right. They would let it go. Right. And they're like, some of them are like, the host hasn't updated anything in a long time. You're like, okay, I'm going to move on from this one because they're asleep at the wheel over there.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, is like, I don't know whether or not, like we're trying to think about ground up, right? Like Airbnb is a technology, right? So they've got this legacy things that are happening in their business, but just because they don't tell us, because it was there, doesn't mean they just remove that out of what was important for them, right? They probably had that in there just to see whether it also converts people to book listings more, right? And maybe also to kind of tighten up the experience, right? Mm-hmm. Like they don't really want to push people. They don't really want to push guests to a listing where there's kind of like a lower chance that they'll have a satisfying experience,
right?
Whereas with a professional, most of the time they're going to be, you know, they're in the weeds looking at their listing, trying to determine if, you know, if we're matching lead times in terms of photography, is our pricing right? Could our copy be a little bit better? And you mentioned actually, when you mentioned about doing those photos and taking, you know, seasonal photos throughout the time, I kind of look at that very similar to when you're going to do your listing in general. You know, you might as well just put that stuff in there because you really honestly only have one chance to convert somebody when they arrive. So you want to do your best to tell them why they should book with you.
Tell the story of your property.
Do you know, is there in your data and measuring and all that kind of good stuff, is there a hero image, that main image that tends to do better, whether it's a bedroom photo or a living room photo or a great view? Or I even see some hosts who put like, even though Airbnb gives you like 5 photos on your listing before you can dive into all of them, some hosts will put like 4 photos in that hero image. And like, to me, it looks a little cluttered, but I don't know if they know something that I don't know.
So your question was whether there was a specific hero photo or cover photo or thumbnail, I guess,
right,
is another word, that seems to drive the most clicks,
yes.
I guess. That's kind of the question.
Yeah, that's the fancier way to put my question.
Yeah. we have seen things, but I don't know if there's really like a specific...
card set.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like, you know, you have to have a blue couch or something on there. For example, one thing that we've kind of noticed is the data is very sparse on this one, so I'll say that. But we're testing a couple different listings right now, and I think we had a cover of a picture of a bed, and then we actually changed that to a picture of a printer with some stuff around it and then we put some copy in terms of like it's like a great place to work from as well. We have, you know, we can print stuff for
right.
you.
Sure, right.
You got a whole office. This is your home office for the next few weeks.
Right.
And actually, we have seen some positive changes from that, which have been promising.
Okay.
But yeah, like I said, there's still some. We still have to wait some extra time. You know, it's been quite sparse, and we do have clients that do lots of photography manipulation, like, you know, four photos in the same the same thing with like their logo in the middle.
Yeah.
And that's kind of cool. You know, if they everything is worth testing. That's kind of what I would say.
Everything's worth testing.
No,
I
think that's kind of my biggest takeaway. Through our whole conversation, Kelvin, you said it once, but experiment. Like that is what's so great about Airbnb and the usability of the platform. You could experiment with different photos, with different captions, with different headlines, with using emojis, with using Superhost on your photos. Like, I think, you know, kicking off this year and with this episode, listeners, do a brain dump once we get off the call and just say, hey, like each quarter, I'm going to experiment with something in my listing, and maybe it's pricing, you know, maybe it's the photos, but do that for yourself of like, what could I do to experiment with my listing each quarter next year and see if there's something, you know, you might be surprised. I know, you know, you could change one thing and be like, holy smokes, like that just boosted, you know, I'm getting so many inquiries now. You'd be surprised, but I think to keep experimenting, because I know it gets very easy to kind of just like get your listing out there.
It.
Yeah, set it and forget it. And you're like, I'm getting bookings, but just put it in your calendar. Let's experiment with something. Or obviously you can also use Kelvin's, you can use Rank Breeze to help you with that. But let's talk about Rank Breeze and how people could get started with it. I do want to say that I did, there's an awesome workshop that Kelvin does on their site. It's about 50 minutes. It was excellent. I took notes, I'll be honest, to let everybody know that. There was a couple of stuff I was like, wow, that was awesome knowledge that he was just giving for free there. And then also, obviously, he talks about his platform. But Kelvin, do you want to just let us know like what the pricing of your product is and how someone would get started? And I know he's been nice enough to give our listeners a free trial too. So if you could talk to us a little bit about that, I think that would help our listeners gear up for this year and get excited about, you know, being the best of the best.
Sure. So we do have different pricing plans. So the easiest thing is to go to, we did actually set up a link. So if you go to rankbreeze.com/thanks-for-visiting, that's all in one word.
And we'll link
then
to that. Listeners.
You'll actually be led to a special page where it's actually very specific to people that we do podcasts with.
Okay.
And it is, so you can do a free trial. So you can do a 7-day free trial if you'd like,
okay.
But if you'd like to try Rank Breeze for longer, with the link there, for $7, you can do it for an entire month.
Awesome.
So it's,
nice.
Yeah, you can kind of go both ways depending on your,
no, let's spend
budget,
the $7.
Honestly.
Let's do it that way. That's a whole month. Cause honestly, that's the thing, listeners, is you can probably tell from our conversation, we're only human. Let's let the software help us out and be better because we can do our personal experimentation, but there are so many tools out there. That's kind of Sarah and I's recommendation too for 2021 for you is like, try different, experiment with some automations, with some software to help you rise to the top. And there are so many inexpensive tools. There are free tools, but you know, I think you're leaving a lot on the table by not trying what people are out there building to help improve your listings.
Actually, I just want to say one thing that's maybe eye-opening perhaps for people is you know, there's yeah, we can get complacent and we can get those bookings and things like that. And they come through and when time happens and we got to look into the listing and things like that to make adjustments, that's all great. And we should be doing that. It is part of just like a pricing tool. You can't really just, you can set and forget it and people do, but really that's not going to be the best thing for you, especially in 2020, that was definitely not what you should have done because they're looking at data from the past and the decisions and the suggestions that they're making are all due to circumstances that are not really known at this time, right? But overall, what I would say is that For us, at least, you know, 2021 is really just the we're looking at this like, yeah, we're an SEO tool, but at the end of the day, we are kind of like a we're trying to help you solve your channel partner pipeline. You have different channels that you are on. You know, you've got your Airbnbs and you've got your VRBOs, your booking.coms. But overall, right, those are your channel partners. It's your pipeline. And every person, it's not really the people that are booking your place. That's where the, you know, I guess where the money is. It's really the people who never booked your property. It's all the people who came to your listing and never actually booked with you, right? That's actually that's the missing part, right? And that's kind of what we're trying to help people with as well.
Ooh. No, that is mind-blowing, actually.
Yeah, I
like that.
It's a punch in the gut, too. You're like, wait a second, how do we get those?
There's a lot more out there.
Abandoned carts. They're basically your abandoned carts for e-commerce. You know, it's like, why did they not choose our place? Yeah.
Right. Anything else, Calvin, before we hop off that we didn't ask you because we don't know what we don't know for sure that you think our listeners should know, or just to hop on to rankbreeze.com/thanks for visiting and give it a go around?
That's pretty much it. I would say go to rankbreeze.com/thanks for visiting. If you want to learn more as well, you know, go to, if you type in Airbnb SEO in Google, you'll see, like I said, you won't see RankBreeze on there, but you'll see Higher Bookings, which is the blog that we first started with. So, sure. And you'll see a bunch of different content on there on, you know, Airbnb ranking factors and, like strategies and things like that. So,
awesome.
Well, actually, I think you guys mentioned that you do send out an email and a blog post. So
yep.
I would actually, I'll probably just say, check that out and you'll get all the links there too.
I actually have one last question for you, Calvin, is what is the future of RankBreeze? Are you guys excited for 2021, even after all that we've gone through as short-term rental hosts and managers and SEO experts? Are you excited for the future and any plans?
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. We're definitely excited about the future. I think that the pandemic really proved how resilient this market is, right? Like the short-term rental market, the vacation rental market has been around for hundreds and hundreds of years,
yes.
Way longer than Airbnb has been around, right? Or any of the other platforms. So there's certainly a shift that's happening towards building brands and things like that. So overall, we're excited about everything that's going on. We know that we're one part of the puzzle, but you know, like I mentioned about being the channel partner pipeline and focusing on those sorts of things, I think that we can really help you guys with that. So check us out.
Awesome. We can't thank you enough for your time today and your expertise. Listeners, go check them out. RankBreeze.com/thanks for visiting. Can't hurt. New year, new you, new listing.
Crush your numbers in 2021.
Yes. All right. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant. And together we are.
Thanks for visiting. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products, from hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers. We've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, We will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.